Good morning. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? November 1st, beautiful Sunday morning to get to come to His house and worship Him. Isn't that good? Boy, I'll say it. Amen. All right. Well, let's sing a couple of songs. Hymn number 778, Sweet By and By.
To be, but I long to rise in the arms of morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. And it is hard to believe that it is November the 1st. This year has really flown by. But how many of y'all are ready to see it go by and be in the past, right? Just about every one of us are ready to see that. Well, most of you know that we, the last few Sunday mornings at 9:45, have been looking at a study authored by Jeff Johnson, who is a pastor at Grace Bible Church in Conway, and the study is on the church. Well, just recently, Jeff has published a more enhanced study on this book that I want us to look at a trailer, and then after this trailer, it's about a three-minute video, I will explain to you more about what we will do in the future.
So I've been doing a lot of thinking about what a church is.
Difficulties.
So I've been doing a lot of thinking about what a church is.
All right. While that is still buffering, this is why you cannot rely upon technology today, right? We will, here in the next few weeks, once we get the material in, what this study is, it's on the same book that we have, if you have a book, it's the same book, but he has made a documentary. He traveled to Europe and traveled to many of the places where the church spread in Europe and in England, and made a documentary. So we will watch a documentary. I think the documentary is about an hour to hour and a half long. And so it may take us one or two Sunday mornings to do that at 9:45. And then once that is complete, with each lesson, we will watch a 20-minute video. Then we will read the chapter and then go over some of the questions related to that chapter. So it's going to be much more engaging and so forth. And you should have a worksheet. And so anyway, that is to come later on. What do we look at right now? If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter number 2. And verse number 21, we want to look at the verse of the month of November, and a very timely verse as we are just days away from the election and days away from the results. And so we want to look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21 and consider what the Lord has to say about such things. Daniel 2 and verse 21 says, "And he," that is the Lord, "changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So again, we look at that. He removes kings and raises up kings. And he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And then we see in verse 22 that he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. So it's very interesting how that Daniel knew from Isaiah, really, that what Isaiah wrote about 100 years before his birth, that God alone has the power to raise up kings and dispose them. You're in Daniel, turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And this is what Isaiah wrote about 100 years prior to Daniel's birth. And of course, Daniel was well aware of Isaiah's writings. Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 22, it says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, he will, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. And so Daniel knew what Isaiah wrote concerning our Lord and his sovereignty, that God was in control, that he removes kings and he raises up kings. And listen, Christians, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to remember the power of God over the rulers of the world, especially at times of national election. As Christians, listen, we should never be, and this is hard for me to say, we should never be overly frustrated when a leader is elected who leads contrary to Christian principles. We should never be overly frustrated. Would we be disappointed? Absolutely. Can we be disappointed? Yes, absolutely. But we should never be overly frustrated. Because, why? We ultimately know that God is in control. In his sovereignty, he has allowed a king to rule. And in his sovereignty, he removes kings from rule. And so what we as Christians ought to do, instead of getting so overly frustrated, we ought to take our concern, our disappointment, to God in prayer, praying for those who are in leadership, as we are instructed to do in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says in verse 1, he says, "I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." Then he says specifically, "for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceably, peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." And so we know that we are to, regardless of whoever's in the White House, we are to pray for them. And we know we pray for them because we know what? God is powerful. He's all powerful. And as Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. So we pray to God knowing that he is all powerful and that he holds in his hand the king's heart. And so we see something here about our verse of the month of November of the power of God, the sovereignty of God in our world and especially in our national election. But then he mentions also in verse 22 of Daniel chapter 2, he mentions something about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. In verse 22, he says that God, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is the darkness, and light dwells with him. Here, Daniel is not speaking so much here about his omnipotent power, that God is all omnipotent, he's all powerful. But here in verse 22, he speaks about God's omniscience, that he's all knowing. God is the all knowing God. And Daniel praises God because our God knows the secret things. He knows the secret things. The Lord knows what lies, according to our scripture, in darkness. The Hebrew word translated darkness comes from the root word that means concealed. So God knows those things that are concealed from all men, such as the future of the kingdoms of this world. So there are things that we may not understand. There are things that are secret to us, but God knows all of those things. They are not concealed to him. So again, we can take heart as we look to the future, which is also very much an unknown to us. That though we do not know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. And therefore, we can trust him regardless of the results on Tuesday. Right? So there are about four things I want you to notice quickly as we think about the national election coming up. The first thing is this: don't panic. Okay? Don't panic. And what I'm speaking of is the turmoil, the protest, and the riots that will take place if Trump wins. There's already a movement that on November the 4th, on that Wednesday following the election day, that it is more or less overthrow the new elected leader if Trump wins, of where there's going to be massive protests in major cities across our country. There is going to be more burnings and rioting and looting, maybe more than what we've seen before. And so if this happens, if the Lord allows Trump to win, you're going to see more chaos. You're going to be seeing more of these type things. Another scenario that you have to consider the possibilities is if Biden wins, but Trump has enough time to do an investigation that if he finds that there is known fraud, and this fraud was so much that it turned the election into Biden's favor, thus Trump not leaving the White House, it goes into a court battle, the Supreme Court make a decision, and let's say the Supreme Court finds Trump as the president due to known fraud. Now, that's all speculation, but that could happen. very well could happen. If it does happen, you're going to have a lot of chaos, a lot of chaos. But I say to you right now, I believe regardless of who wins, either Biden or Trump, there's going to be chaos. But please do not panic. You know, we are bombarded every day with things that can panic us, right? We hear the news of the pandemic each and every day. Multiple times a day, we hear the news of the pandemic. But I just was looking at that word pandemic this morning. And, you know, if you take out the middle letters of the word pandemic, D-E-M, you have the word panic. And so you hear this word pandemic all the time, and in your mind, you're having this, really this time of panic. So we hear the news of the pandemic. We have these racial issues that are increasingly dividing our country. Then, of course, the 2020 election and all of that surrounds that is very troubling. But listen, here's my thing as to why you do not need to panic, because we do not need to be fooled into thinking that these are the worst times ever in the history of the United States. Okay? Our nation's problems, the things that we are experiencing, are things that are not new. Let me just give you a few things of our past issues that you may or may not have heard about that caused a lot of tension and a lot of pain and even death. In 1791 through 1794, you had what you called the Whiskey Rebellion. It took place when George Washington was first in the White House. And this is when the federal government imposed, for the first time, a tax on whiskey. That didn't go over well with the American people, especially those who fought for the freedom in America to be free from the tyrants of Great Britain. And they felt like, hold on a second. Now, we just fought a war against the tyrants, and here you're going to tax us on our whiskey. Well, that led to protests. It led to insurrection. It led to rebellion, and it actually led to skirmishes and battles, which led to death. So in the very infancy of our nation's history, this Whiskey Rebellion threatened to undermine what happened in our country exercising their right for to freedom from Great Britain. Then you take, once that was passed, and of course we know the federal government won on that issue, you take that, you also take the burning of the White House and the Library of Congress that took place in 1814. And that was a cause of the 1812 war, or the War of 1812, when Great Britain tried another time to take over the United States, and they were sore losers, and so they wanted to try again to win the battle, but of course they lost. But there was one particular battle that took place where they actually took over Washington, D.C., and they drove the U.S. out, and they burned the White House, and they burned every building in Washington, D.C. Could you imagine having Facebook in those days, looking at your Facebook feed and seeing the White House on fire by the enemy? That would be very hard. That would be almost panic mode right there, panic time. But that's what took place in 1814. And then we think about the Elmira prison camp, which was a prison camp during the Civil War, and where we really, it was a Union prison camp where they held Confederate soldiers. But due to poor living conditions, due to malnutrition and exposure and disease, nearly 3,000 prisoners of war, Confederate prisoners of war, died in a very short time. Now, these were not enemy prisoners of war from another country. We were essentially killing our own people. You talk about a nation divided. You talk about chaos. You talk about panic. It was a very difficult time. Then you think about 100 years ago, the Spanish flu pandemic that hit America. 25% of Americans affected, which killed nearly 700,000 people. Nearly 700,000 people. And then you have the very sad story about the Bath school bombing, which took place in Bath, Michigan in 1927. And because of that bombing, some 38 children, school, elementary children, died, including six adult teachers. All because of a man who was obviously a madman. He was troubled. He was once the school board treasurer. And he was very angry at taxation, but he was also very angry that he was not elected as the city clerk there in Bath, Washington. And so he loaded a truck full of dynamite and ran it into a school and killed 38 innocent children and six adults. So what we see happening now is bad, yes. But it's happened before. It's happened before. And it's not only here. Listen, injustice and murder, disease and disaster are part of every country's past and future. But this is why we need a Savior. Amen? This is why we need a Savior. Jesus said, "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." But Jesus also promised, "I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have what? Overcome the world." So don't panic. In the coming days, you're very likely going to see a whole lot of looting and a whole lot of burning and chaos. But don't panic. Put your trust in the sovereign God. The second thing I want you to notice with me is don't try to figure it all out because you can't. Don't try to figure it all out because you cannot. Once the psalmist Asaph was frustrated during turbulent times, the turbulent times he was living in, he could not understand whatsoever why so many bad things were happening. But finally, he discovered that he was not supposed to understand, and that all he needed to do was to draw closer and closer to the Lord. As the song we just got finished singing, "Draw me nearer, nearer to the Lord." Well, he said, he wrote this in Psalm 73 in verse 16. He said, "When I thought how to understand this, when I tried to figure it all out," he said, "it was too painful for me. Until," he says, "I went into the sanctuary of God, until I got closer to God, then I understood their end." Listen, don't try to figure everything all out because you cannot. Why do we have corrupt politicians? I don't know why, other than that is just the way mankind is. But we do know that corrupt politicians, they will rise and they will fall. Disease will spread and diminish. Wars will come and wars will go. And although that you may not understand why these things happen, Listen, you don't have to. You do not have to. Your job and mine is to trust the Lord and draw near to Him. And then notice also something that we need to remember in times of chaos is that there's a better country ahead. There's a better country than this one. Listen, while our country is not perfect, no country ever has been or ever will be a perfect country. But we, as children of God, we do know that there is a greater country, and that is the holy nation of God. We, as God's children, listen, we must remember that we belong to the, we are citizens of the greatest and most glorious nation there is. Friend, do you understand that the Lord has promised us in the future that there is a day coming when tears will be replaced with laughter and rejoicing? There will be no more hunger, no more thirst. We will live in a place filled with light and beauty. There will be no more disease, no more death. We will dwell with the Lord forever and ever. So in times of turmoil and chaos, we must remember that there is a better country ahead of us. And that's the holy nation of God. And then notice, lastly, we must understand that God determines the course of history, not man. Ultimately, God determines the course of history, not man. Man, I really do wish that as a younger child and a younger man, I would have known more about the sovereignty of God in my earlier life, because it really is great news. It is great news to know that God is in absolute total control. God reigns over everything. He reigns over everything from the weather to world events. When we talk about the sovereign control of God, it means that no matter who wins in the 2020 elections, we can trust in His good plan. It means it's not solely up to us to save the presidency or the world. God uses us to evangelize and to spread the gospel, but ultimately He is the one who is in control, and He is going to bring that to pass. So again, we read in Daniel 2 and verse 21, our verse of the month, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And do we have that ready now? Okay. Well, after this video, we will take some prayer requests and a time of prayer.
So she must be committed to teaching what is good. Look at the next part of this.
So I've been doing a lot of thinking about what a church is and what you need to build it.
And so train the young women too. Now, we've seen this in the character of the older women. And again, we have to put both of these together to get this Titus 2 picture of biblical womanhood. Because the older women are to be something, and they're also to teach something. So we get a picture when you... young women. The word here is not for the kind of instruction that we have for indoctrination. The word here is for gently bringing people along and guarding them from other tendencies.
A lot of thinking about what a church is and what
that's the goal here. Direct them, disciple them.
It's just not going to work this morning. That's all right. We'll go ahead and take some prayer requests. And we'll definitely put the sound system on there for the next service for sure. Anybody have a special prayer request that we need to mention? Yes. Wow. Pray for Robbie's former boss having very difficult health problems. Yes. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, pray for Miss Shelby. Anyone else? All right, let's take some time to pray, and let's all stand. I'm going to ask Brother Bud Ballard if he would pray, and you think it's going to work now after the prayer? It's still not going to work? Okay. Well, after the prayer, feel free to fellowship, and I think we should have some coffee downstairs and so forth. So, Brother Bud, lead us to the Lord, please.